Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Scott Roche's Omniverse. Today we have Matthew Brockmeyer as our guest voice. He has a podcast called the Murder Coaster Podcast, where he and his co-host, Krista Carman, talk about serial killers and true crime. And it's a great podcast, guys. I've listened to a few episodes and thoroughly enjoy it. I don't get to listen to as many podcasts as I used to because I just don't have the time where I can just sit and listen to and really pay attention to podcasts. That's going to be a bit different in this coming holiday week. I'll get a chance to listen to some podcasts, which will be nice. But yeah, I'm taking Thanksgiving week off, so that'll be no episode next week. But today you have plenty to chew on. I think Matthew does a great job reading this story. Before we get into that, we're going to have a promo for the Taking It Down podcast. I've run those the last couple of episodes. This will be the third final time that I'll be running this particular promo. If you know of any podcasts that you'd like me to run a promo for, just let me know.
Streaming scattered and we feel it. It's one reason for Taking It Down, the TV and streaming podcast from the site, The Alabama Take. Our scholarly, erudite, yet southern and working class hosts get TV recommendations up front to avoid spoilers for you to hear what's worth your time, and then insights on specific details of the shows later in the episodes. From trending shows to series you haven't even heard about yet, Taking It Down takes you down into episodes, deeper themes, and not just Easter egg hunting. It's an unpacking of universal truths that make each show and each of us resonate together. New episodes are in any podcast app every Tuesday morning. Taking It Down.
So without further ado, here is Matthew Brockmeyer reading Teeth.
Greetings, Matthew from Murder Coaster here, reading you Teeth. Dave spit into the sink. Instead of the stream of greenish foam he expected to see, the same stream he'd seen 3 times a day for as long as he could remember. It was the reddish brown of an old brick. What the hell? He looked in the mirror and smiled wide. The dazzling white teeth he'd made most of his money with were there in imperfect order. The toothpaste that dotted them and gathered at the corners of his mouth were the same troubling shade. He grabbed the cup of fluoride rinse and filled his mouth with it. It was hard to swish for the 30 seconds he always did. He needed to know if he was still bleeding somewhere. As he did, his tongue probed, looking for a cut or anything out of order. When it hit the very back tooth on the bottom right, he screamed. Bloody froth and rinse went everywhere. He dropped the brush and cup and clapped his hand to the side of his face. A sob actually came up from his chest. I've never had a fucking cavity. Dave couldn't deny the sharp pain or the dull throb that replaced it. He wanted to have a good look, but it was so far back and he didn't want to touch it again. He left the mess as it was and rushed out into his bedroom. Seconds later, the phone rang to his dentist's office.
Thank you for calling McLaren Dentistry. This is Janice. How can we brighten your
Janice, this is Dave Myers. I need to see Dr. McLaren. It's a dental emergency. Dave heard the clacking of keys.
Mr. Myers, I'm so sorry to hear that. Of course we can work you in this morning. Come on in.
Dave blew out a sigh of relief. Thanks, Janice. He hung up. It didn't take 5 minutes to finish dressing and get in the car. As the Mazda pulled out into traffic, he punched a button on the dash. Call George. The phone rang, and on the third one, a man answered. You could hear the smile in his deep voice.
Dave, how you doing, man? All set for the photo shoot today?
Yeah, George, I can't wait. There's just this thing I have to do. I should be on time, but I wanted to let you know. The smile must have evaporated. I hope you'll be on time. This is a big goddamn client we're talking about here. It's our ticket to much larger gigs. Hey, don't sweat it. I'll be there. It may just not be early. Everything okay? There was a note of genuine concern. There fucking should be. He and Dave had been friends for years, and it was Dave's smile that got them their first modeling money. No, it's nothing major. See you in a couple hours. Dave weaved in and out of morning traffic. McLaren was halfway across town, but he was the best. True, Dave only used them for cleanings and checkups. However, he knew if there was ever a problem, he'd want the best dentist in town. The parking lot was half full, but the waiting room was packed. Most of the patients were bratty kids and their indulgent parents. Dave didn't have time to sneer, though, not with his livelihood at stake. He walked up to Janice, an older red-headed lady, and smiled. Hi, Janice. She looked up and smiled at him. It wasn't near the radiant grill that was his, but it was a solid 8 out of 10. Sorry to hear about the emergency. She cocked her head. What's going on? I think I have a cavity. Dave touched the side of his face. It didn't hurt anymore, but he could still feel something out of place. Janice frowned.
That's your emergency? You didn't chip it or anything?
He shook his head. I don't think so. You know me. I take great care of my choppers. It has me worried. There was a lot of blood this morning.
Oh, dear. Well, that's more than a cavity, then. You have a seat, and we'll call you back in a few minutes.
The frown was gone, replaced by a thin, worried smile. He nodded his thanks and turned. There wasn't a free seat to be found. He'd just stand. Minutes ticked by with the occasional patient getting called back. While he waited, his tongue roved through his mouth, carefully avoiding the angry molar. The rest of his teeth felt as sound as could be. There was no pain. Before he got up the courage to check the back one, his name was called. The young woman who called him back had dark skin, and he could probably join his hands around her waist. Her name was Tammy, and he was glad to have her. She had a gentle touch and didn't bother with a lot of small talk. This way, Dave. She smiled at him. For just a second, it looked like her teeth were jagged, almost serrated. He blinked and saw only the even white teeth and healthy gums expected in a hygienist. Thanks, Tammy. Are you okay? You blanked out there for a second. Tammy put her hand on his arm. Dave shook his head. It's been a bad morning. He touched the side of his face. Woke up with a bad toothache. Maybe you just got something stuck back there. We'll get you straightened out. Tammy led him back to one of the little rooms. Dave slid into the slightly reclined chair. Tammy pulled over a tray and got everything situated. Then she pulled the examination light down and craned her neck to look up inside. Open up. Dave opened his mouth after a brief internal struggle. Maybe it was nothing, and he should have just gone into work. A gasp escaped Tammy's mouth. Dave's eyes flicked to hers. There was a revulsion in them he could not deny. Everything okay? Instruments rattled as she grabbed something from the tray. I need a better look. Open up. She used a dental mirror to pull the corner of his mouth to one side and adjusted the spotlight. Dave kept his eyes fixed on her as best he could. It looked like she held her breath. He wanted to ask what was going on, but just then a lance of pain shot from his jaw into the back of his head. He groaned. I didn't touch it. I promise.
The horror had moved from her eyes to her words. She slid back from him. It. She didn't touch it. Not the tooth. What's wrong? What did you see?
Tammy shook her head. I need to let the doctor look at it. It's going to be okay.
Dave didn't like the sound of that at all, but at least the pain had gone. He nodded.
Tammy stood and left the room. Curious, Dave brought his hand up to his face and breathed out. Instead of the mintiness of his rinse, he caught a smell like rancid seafood. He winced at the smell and couldn't blame her for holding her breath. She'd probably smelled all kinds of bad breath. Dave had too, but nothing like this. He let his hand drop to his side. What could possibly have scared her, though? As he waited, his brain flipped through the limited possibilities he was aware of. Cancer? An infection? Gangrene? Could you even get gangrene in your mouth? He wasn't a smoker. Didn't use any tobacco products. As a kid, he'd seen what that could do to you thanks to pictures in his family dentist's office. That was enough.
Mr. Myers, sorry you had to come in and see us today.
It was Dr. McLaren. One of the man's parents was from India, and he favored that side of the family in appearance. But he had a local, vaguely southern accent. He'd grown up here. That was another reason Dave chose this office.
Thanks, doctor. I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of scared, actually.
McLaren sat in the chair that Tammy had evacuated quickly. He brought a pair of loops down over his eyes. His very square face took on a vaguely robotic look with the high-powered lenses in place. From the pocket of his scrubs, he pulled a penlight free.
No reason to worry. He clicked the light to life. I've seen a lot of things in my time, and in a young, healthy man like you...
McLaren stopped as he looked in Dave's mouth. The next few words were a mutter that didn't sound like English. McLaren patted him on the shoulder.
I'm going to want to take some x-rays and a few regular pictures.
The transition from confidence to detached curiosity scared Dave more than the hygienist's horror.
What is it, doctor?
I'll show you, but you need to understand that, as I said, you're a healthy young man, and there's no danger.
Fuck that. Tammy was scared, and you're... I don't know what. You're acting like there is something to worry about.
Another lance of pain shot through his head. A grinding noise he couldn't place followed the pain, and an intense pressure near the hinge of his jaw made him clutch his head. He stifled a scream.
Tammy, get me the Lido.
McLaren took the lidocaine-filled syringe from her. Dave didn't feel the needle going into his gum. The pain filled his entire head, making everything go white. When the pain finally receded, a blackness followed that he entered gladly. Eventually, he blinked his eyes open. The tiny exam room was filled with three people. Dr. McLaren and Tammy hovered over him. In the background, Dave could see a man who must be an EMT.
Welcome back, Dave. You scared us for a few minutes.
Dr. McLaren smiled, but it was forced.
How long was I out?
Dave's voice sounded mushy to his own ears.
Tammy put her hand on his chest.
About 20 minutes. We were worried we might lose you. Thankfully, the hospital is right up the road.
Lost me? But it's just my teeth, right?
McLaren tilted the chair up. Whatever it was that has happened to you, it probably involves more than your teeth. That's just how it started. Something caused rapid bone growth in your teeth and jaw. The doctor nodded to his assistant. Tammy brought a mirror up, but didn't turn it to face him yet. You need to know we did what we had to do to prevent any damage. Dave reached out and grabbed her hand. He brought the mirror around and gasped. His jaw was swollen, his cheek puffed out.
What did you do?
His tongue searched the inside of his mouth and encountered wet gauze. The taste of blood was pervasive.
We had to remove all of your teeth on that side. McLaren's tone was firm, but sad. As Dave turned to look at him, he saw a tray with several bloody lumps on it. They looked nothing like teeth, but they had to be. He recognized the misshapen roots, but even they were misshapen. What happened? McLaren shook his head. We don't know. I'll be sending your teeth to a colleague who does research, but my guess is it's a rare form of bone cancer. It caused massive tissue growth in a very specialized set of cells. Dave counted the objects on the tray. They were 8 things. He couldn't call them teeth. He didn't want to imagine that those had been pulled from his mouth. Will it happen again? You'll need to see a specialist who can tell you more than I can. The x-rays indicate your jaw has also been infected, but the growth seems to have stopped. Your front teeth and those on the other side look fine, for now. For now? Dave threw the mirror across the small room. It hit the wall, cracking the mirror's plastic frame. I could wake up tomorrow and lose those, too? I know you're angry, Dave, but you need to try and calm down. McLaren made calming motions. I'll calm down when I know why this happened to me, and when I know it won't happen anymore. Dave sat up, and the room spun. I need to get out of here. Tammy put her hands on his shoulders from behind. You've lost some blood, and there's still a lot of anesthetic floating around your bloodstream. You need to wait at least another hour before you go anywhere. Dave shrugged out from under her hand and stood. He wobbled in place for a few moments and waited before moving ahead. Need to go home. I'll rest there. More hands grabbed him. This time it was the strapping EMT. You need to sit down, sir, before you fall down and hurt yourself. Dave tried to resist, but he was still weak. As he was pulled back into the chair, he felt the intense pressure he'd experienced earlier in the morning, this time on the opposite side of his face. He screamed in pain and fear and saw the air in front of him mist with blood from his mouth. More hands joined the EMTs, and they roughly guided him back to his chair. This time, he felt the needle slide in and the cool liquid invade his bloodstream. When Dave woke up this time, it was in a hospital room. The dark room smell reminded him of visiting his mother just before her death. He tried to sit up, but what felt like a half a dozen belts held him in place. His wrists were cuffed in soft, strong bands that kept him pinned to the bed rails. His mouth was filled with gauze, and his whole head felt 6 sizes too large. Hot tears ran down his face, and sobs racked his body. After what could have been as few as 5 minutes or as long as an hour, the lights in his room turned on. A young lady in blue scrubs came into his field of vision. Hello, Mr. Myers. I want you to know that everything is going to be all right. We're taking good care of you. What happened? His words must be completely unintelligible to her. She nodded as though she understood. I'm your nurse, and my name is Karen. I'm going to take your temperature. She pulled a temple thermometer from her pocket. We're still not sure exactly what's going on with you, but we're doing our best to find out. She ran the thermometer over his forehead. It beeped, and she nodded at the results. You have a fever, but it's nothing to worry about. My teeth. She met his gaze and nodded again. I have bad news. They had to pull the rest of your teeth. Dave shook his head violently. All of them? He was a cartoon old man with nothing but 2 ridges of violated gum tissue. You need to try to calm down, Mr. Myers. She reached over and a machine beeped twice. Almost immediately, he lost the will to fight. All of his strength left his limbs. He lay in his bed and focused on breathing. You rest, and we'll keep an eye on you. We'll find out what's going on. The rest of her words were lost as his consciousness receded. When he came to the next time, the room was well lit. His stomach rumbled, and there wasn't any gauze in his mouth. Like a kid who'd lost their first milk tooth, his tongue couldn't help but explore. It hadn't been a nightmare. He didn't have a single tooth in his head. Slightly puckered flesh and stitches held the wounds closed. Tears leaked from the corners of his eyes, and his body shook with quiet sobs. The cries gradually grew louder, and he curled his body. It was then he realized he was no longer bound. That thought was pushed aside as the notion of losing his only source of income took over. He didn't know how he'd pay his bills. No woman would want to look at him. "You can get them back." The voice was tenuous. It didn't come from the room around him. It seemed to have come from the very bones in his skull. "We can be whole again." "I've gone crazy." His words were sloppy and it hurt to talk. His head pounded. "Mr. Myers, you're awake." A young man dressed in scrubs similar to those of his nurse walked in. "I'm Bobby, your day nurse. How's the pain level?" He couldn't tell this nurse he was hearing voices. Maybe it was the painkiller. "My head is killing me." The S sound came out mushy. Bobby walked beside the bed. "Is it a stabbing pain or pressure? How severe is it on a scale of 1 to 10? "Feels like someone has a vice on my temples. It's an 8, he thought a minute. "Maybe a 7. Bobby nodded sympathetically. "That sounds like tension and stress. I'll get you something for that. How's your jaw?" "Hurts, but not too bad." Dave spoke as slowly and clearly as he could. "You're going to be okay, sir. Dr. Wires will check in on you soon and answer any questions you have." Dave couldn't draw his eyes away from Bobby's teeth. They were good and strong, except for a crooked canine. "Thanks." "We could take a few of his teeth," the voice buzzed in his head. Dave watched to see if Bobby noticed the words spoken as clear as could be. Bobby didn't flinch. Instead, the young male nurse turned and walked to the door. After a few seconds, he came back with a small paper cup and a plastic water glass. "Take these. It will help the swelling in your gums go down. It should also help your head." Dave took the medicine and water from him. "This won't conflict with the medicine I'm on?" Bobby shook his head. "We took you off of the morphine once you were stable. If the bone pain returns, then the doctor may hook you back up again." There were no tubes. Dave didn't realize that when he'd first come to. Could the voice be real? Or was he just crazy? "Thanks." He put the pills in his mouth and swallowed them with water. "How long?" He looked around the room. Then he saw the date. 2 days. "You've been off of the morphine for the last 20 hours. The doctors have checked you regularly, and everything seems to be back to normal. A man has been here and has called a few times to check on you." "George?" His business partner had to be worried. "That sounds right. Listen, you rest, and soon you'll be ready for visitors."
We will take those pretty teeth and make them ours," the voice in his skull demanded.
"No," Dave tried to growl.
"You will be, I promise," Bobby answered him, not realizing the growl wasn't directed at him.
Dave shook his head and lay back. He heard Bobby leave the room. After a few seconds, he whispered, "Can you hear me?"
"Of course. We are one."
The buzzing quality was still there, but the tone had softened. "What are you? Am I going crazy?" Dave's voice cracked on the last two syllables.
"No, I am real. Your body is special. We had to reject and reshape certain things to prepare you."
"Reshape?" He hadn't looked in a mirror.
His hands came up and roamed over his face. His brow was heavier, and his jawline had elongated. He wanted to look in a mirror, but he was afraid of what he'd see. Prepare me? Prepare me for what? We are the next stage. There are more of us. You will be like sharks among minnows. We need to have the right tools to take our place. Part of him liked the idea of being a shark. Their teeth were so beautiful and so perfect for what they did. The vision of teeth shredding flesh and blood filling the water filled his mind. Saliva flooded his mouth. What's happening to me? Dave beat his hands against his forehead. His knuckles popped and cracked. He managed to hurt his hands on his own skull. He squeezed his eyes shut and tried to will the visions away. All he could think of in its place was how to get the right teeth for the job. Eventually, he drifted off into a fitful slumber. The next time Dave came to, there was a doctor present. The man talked about bone density and showed him x-rays. He went on and on about tests they could do and how, in some ways, it was a miracle. When Dave caught his reflection in a mirror, he almost had to agree. The heavy brow ridge he was now blessed with could crack another human skull. His powerful jaws with the right teeth could crush bone and rend flesh. He held his hand up, stopping the doctor's rambling. I just need to know, doctor. Is there any chance I can get dental implants of some sort? The doctor, who looked to be in his middle age, except for the solid white afro, tilted his head wise sideways. That's certainly possible. I'm not a dental surgeon, but I know they are doing remarkable things with dental prosthetics. Dave nodded. I've heard about that. He didn't want dentures, but if that's what he needed to make do, it would have to work. The voice whispered that it wouldn't be enough and longed for real teeth to gnash. Sleep came more naturally after the doctor was able to reassure him concerning his appearance. His jaw still hurt, but the pills helped, and he hoped the weird hallucination was just that. When Dave woke up, he was hungry for the first time. A diet of yogurt and applesauce didn't do much to assuage the hunger, but it would get better. It had to. The nurse encouraged him to get up and walk around. Now that he was no longer tied to an IV, he decided to do just that. He put on the pants he'd come in here with and stood up from the bed. A few seconds of lightheadedness has him on the verge of falling back in bed. But he steeled himself and took a few steps. I'd kill for a sandwich. He hated the sound of his words. All he could think of was the way his great-grandmother's words had a whistling sound once she had dentures. Yes, he was still a young guy, not as pretty as he had been, sure, but the way he spoke would be another nail in the dating coffin. His stomach growled at him. More troubling than that were the words he heard next. You'll be able to eat soon enough, sooner than the doctors will let you. The grating quality of the voice was like nails on a chalkboard. I need help. He stepped out into the hallway and saw the nurse's station. He caught the attention of a particularly young-looking lady. Are you feeling all right, sir? You look pale. He nodded to her. I just need to go for a bit of a walk. Is there a chaplain I can talk to? She smiled and stepped up to him. Her name tag said, Stacy. Yes, of course, his name is Stan West. His office is right up the hall. She turned her head to point. Dave's eyes went to the spot where her neck disappeared into her collar. The flesh there looked so tender. He thought of licking it or taking a bite out of it with sharp new teeth. Stacy turned back while he was still fixated on the taut skin. She cleared her throat. Is there anything else you need? Embarrassed, he shook his head and went in the direction she indicated. He thought about the voice and about the fantasy. He wasn't a religious man, and this had to be part of some kind of breakdown. But maybe there was something to confession. The door to Stan's office was cracked. The small inset window was covered in faux stained glass, but there was a sticker of Alfred E. Newman, Mad Magazine's mascot, with his, what, me worry? Trademarked expression in the bottom left corner. The missing tooth bothered Dave a little. A man of God with a sense of humor? That would be welcome. He tapped on the door. Come in. The voice sounded much younger than Dave imagined. Dave pushed on the door. The person seated at the all-too-clean desk behind a sleek laptop wasn't the idea he had when he thought of Chaplin. Stan smiled up at him. He did have a white collar at his throat and wore a short-sleeved jet-black shirt. Can I help you, sir? Are you the hospital chaplain? The young man nodded. I do have that pleasure. Stan smiled and the grin extended to warm brown eyes. Have a seat, if you'd like. He pointed to a chair across from his desk. I was just catching up on email. I hate to interrupt. Dave didn't feel anything like pain in the presence of this priest. Some of his hope and confidence leaked away. Not at all. It's a welcome blessing. Dave came in and sat down. He was able to push the door closed from where he sat. I'm not a Catholic or religious person at all, really. There was no, then why did you come here? Or even a smart-assed, neither am I, by the way of answer. Go on. Well, Dave said and crossed and uncrossed his legs, is what we say confidential? Of course, I won't tell anyone anything if you don't want me to. Stan closed his laptop and gave Dave his full attention. I've been having these thoughts since the surgery to remove my teeth, like I want to hurt people. Have you ever felt that way before? Dave shook his head. No. That's what's so scary. One day I'm this regular guy, and the next day I'm thinking about... He started to say, chewing down on nurse meat, but thought better of it. Thinking of bad things to do. Stan frowned slightly. I can see how that would be alarming. Did you lose all your teeth? After Dave nodded, he went on. Do they know why? No. I know you say you're not a religious person, and I want you to know I'm a fully licensed counselor in addition to being a priest. So what I'm about to say comes from that training. What you've gone through is traumatic. It's no surprise your mind is going to all sorts of strange places. Don't listen to this puke. The hissing, grinding voice came softly in his head. Did you hear that? Dave's voice had a panicked edge. Stan shook his head. I didn't. Maybe we can listen in silence for a minute. The pair of men sat there, the air conditioning cut on. Nothing else happened. Whether this voice is a result of what's happened to you or is something less physical, my not hearing it doesn't make it less real to you. There was a slight emphasis on the last two syllables. Dave didn't much care for the implication. It's either real or it's not, right? Stan shrugged. I know enough through my years of training in both disciplines to know that it's not always as binary as real, not real. Dave stood. This was a mistake. He waited for the priest to stop him or for the voice to come back. I don't think so, but if you don't want to talk, that's okay. I do have to ask, do you think you're going to hurt yourself or anyone else? This was where the trap came. If Dave answered yes, then this guy would put him in a deep hole. No, I think it's just the meds. I don't want to hurt anyone, especially myself. He edged towards the door. Stan stood. I don't know how long you'll be here, but if you want to talk... He flicked his fingers out and a business card appeared. I'm available, even if you're discharged or just need a friendly ear. Call me. Dave gulped the magic trick, but he took the card and tucked it into his pocket. I will, thanks. He shuffled out of the office and back to his room. He suddenly felt exhausted. After two more days in the hospital, it was time for him to be released. There had been no more instances of pain. In fact, Dave hadn't felt this good in a long time. He and the voice had enjoyed a number of conversations, and he didn't and he knew just what he needed to do. Dave called George to come and pick him up. The man hadn't offered to come by one time during the whole ordeal. The orderly wheeled him down to the lobby. Dave saw George waiting across the room. As homely as Dave knew he was, George looked like he'd fallen out of an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. Then someone had chopped the tree down and let it fall on him. One thing the short, broad man did have was a gorgeous set of chrome-covered teeth. They weren't good for the sort of modeling gigs that Dave had once been a prime candidate for, but they could do real damage in the right mouth. "Jesus Christ, dude," were the first words out of George's mouth. "You're fucked up." Dave chuckled darkly. A few days ago, he would have agreed. He also would have been angry. Not now. "We do look like we've been separated at birth." George's eyes narrowed. "Fuck you, man." Then he smiled and clapped Dave on the shoulder. Dave winced. His joints were complaining. One thing he knew that the doctors didn't was that the rest of his skeleton was growing and changing. Unlike his head, the rest of him still needed time. He'd be able to do what he needed to do, though. He'd just have to be smart. He smiled back, the vacant smile he'd grown used to. "Damn, we need to get you a new grill. Come on." George took the few things Dave had with him. No family and few friends meant no get-well cards or other crap to deal with. Dave followed George out to the new Buick that the man drove. He thought, not for the first time, that it was interesting that his manager drove such a nice car when he was stuck in a shit heap. He climbed into the passenger side and waited for George to come around and get in. "I need to pick up a prescription before you take me home." George nodded. "I can do that." He pulled out of the hospital parking lot and into traffic. Rain beat down on the car's roof. It would be slow going, and visibility was next to nothing. George eased the car down the road. "Just give me the address." Dave fed him the street number and watched as the man repeated it into his phone while keeping the steering wheel rock steady. "We need to talk. I'm going to have a hard time getting you jobs now. Have you thought about that?" Here it was. George didn't believe in beating around the bush. Dave of a week ago or even a few days ago would have been reduced to helpless terror. Instead, he just nodded. "And we lost that gig the day you went to the dentist. That used up a few favors, even getting you the job. Not showing up, no matter the reason, looks bad. And you know that too, right?" George glanced over for a split second, but his eyes glued to the road otherwise. "I know, and it's no hard feelings on my end." George nodded. "Good. Now that's not saying I ain't going to take care of my boy. You know I will. I'm thinking you could go back to work for a friend of mine. They always need scary-looking dudes to do heavy work. You're in good shape. Do some serious weightlifting, and you can make good money as a leg breaker." It should surprise Dave that his friend knew someone who needed leg breakers. Then again, he'd wondered for years why someone like George would be able to wrangle modeling gigs. There was probably some laundering going on. Was there ever really a next-level gig lined up for Dave? Or would that have turned sour for another reason had he turned up? Dave shook his head. It didn't matter. There would be no leg-breaking job for him, or any other kind of job. He would live among these humans and take what he wanted. George must have seen the head shake and taken it as a dismissal of the fabulous opportunity he was offering. "You're not going to have your pick of jobs, but a man's got to do what a man's got to do to make ends meet. We've been friends a long time, and I ain't going to sugarcoat it for you." "No, I agree. I definitely need to change my plans. I was just daydreaming." George nodded and then looked around. "Hey, I don't know where this is taking us, but this don't look like your neighborhood." "It's a new pharmacy. They had to compound something special. Couldn't send it to the regular place." "Okay, whatever. Take the next left." George nodded and pulled into the parking lot that his GPS indicated. He pulled to a stop in the abandoned strip mall's parking lot. "What the hell, dude? Where are we?" Dave let the scalpel he'd stolen slide from his sleeve into his hand. The blade flashed out and severed the jugular vein neatly on George's right side. The man's hand flew up to the wound. "What the?" Dave felt sure that it didn't hurt. Not yet. The blade was keen. He brought the scalpel around and stabbed its tip into his former partner's trachea. That would hurt for a brief period of time. George thrashed around. His right fist shot out and connected with Dave's jaw. There was a loud crack and then a gurgling scream from George as two of his knuckles exploded. Dave grabbed the offending arm and twisted, using it as a lever to drive George's head into the steering wheel. The bridge of the driver's nose hit the top of the wheel and broke in two places. It wasn't the first time George's nose had broken, but it would be the last. Dave held him in the arm bar until the man stopped moving. By the time that happened, Dave wore a slick coating of blood. Eventually, the fountain of gore stopped, along with the beating of George's heart. Now there was the question of removing the teeth he needed. He stepped out of the car and into the cleansing rain. There was a tire iron and probably a few other tools to be had in the trunk. George liked to be prepared for any eventuality. Dave popped open the trunk and rooted around. He found a tire iron. That would work in a pinch. We don't want to break any of them. The grinding voice whispered in his head. He nodded to himself. Ah, there we have it. The small kit was made of heavy canvas. He unzipped it and was rewarded with pliers, screwdrivers, and even a small hammer. Ignoring the rain, he walked back around the passenger side of the car. Once George's body was unbuckled and laid back in the chair, he was able to work. The snapping, crunching sounds were audible, even over the sound of the rain hammering on the roof. It was tricky business, and in the end, he was rewarded with 6 teeth in good shape. Getting the metal grill off had proven even more challenging than he had imagined. He held them in his hand. How do I put them in? Just push them into our gums. I will do the rest. The pain was exquisite. Forcing the teeth through his still, very tender flesh of his gums was hard. After the first one went in with a pop, he felt the bone shift in his jaw. He groaned in pain and didn't notice the slick of blood that soon covered his chin. After 10 minutes of work, he looked in the rearview mirror. He now had 2 teeth in the top and 2 on the bottom near the front. He also had 2 canines in the top. Originally, one of them had come from George's bottom jaw, but it would work. The teeth were solidly rooted by the time he dragged George's body over to the passenger side. Once that was done, he walked around and sat in the driver's seat. His clothes and face were spattered with blood. The spot they'd parked in was just as desolate as it had been over 20 minutes ago. He drove around to the back and pulled his former partner's body out of the car and leveraged it into a dumpster. No one will find it here until it's good and ripe. What's our next step? Look in the pocket. Dave fished the card out of his pocket. The man of God. He had good teeth. He said to call on him any time. First, he would need to get cleaned up. Then he would give the young man a call. He had a nice set of choppers, and Dave had a much better idea of how to free them. Then he would go see the doctor who had seen fit to liberate him of his teeth in the first place. From there, it was just a matter of finding the others like him. Together, they would show humanity the nature of their new masters. He pulled out into traffic, smiling in spite of the massive gaps in his grin and the pain that still radiated out from his jaw. Teething pain was to be expected. After all, this was a rebirth. It would be worth it in the long run.